You and me, you and me, you and me, you and me, babe.
Okay, Jay, I've never heard that song, I don't think. So
yeah, that
I'm
is a that is a Randy Newman song. He wrote that especially for Sonny and Cher to do on whenever their show was so hot, and they had it animated. They had a little animated Sonny and Cher, and Glenn Campbell liked it so well that he and Ann Murray recorded it. And so I thought it'd be good for our relationship story here this morning.
Well, thank you, and I'm going to have to check that out later on.
Okay.
You know, it's really my pleasure to bring you Dr. Mona Barbara. She's a psychologist and author of Bring Yourself to Love, which allows committed couples to discover fresh, surprising solutions to resolving conflict by getting to know their own protective reactions and staying present to their partners even when they feel hurt or disappointed. Now, that's one of the hardest things to do in a relationship. Welcome to the show, Dr. Barbara.
Good morning, Ella. It's good to be with you.
Great. Is it okay if I call you Mona?
That would be great.
Okay, super. I have to say, the thing I say to everyone, when you get into a relationship, to have a good relationship, you literally work on it every single day.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah, because it is work. You, people see the relationship and they say, how do you have such a good relationship? Well, it doesn't just happen. You have to spend time and commitment and work on that relationship. And I think that's what you bring to the table, is helping us see that if we commit some time every day to our relationship, we can grow it and expand it, and not only grow the relationship, but we grow ourselves in this process.
Exactly. Oftentimes when we first get together with the one that we love and we've made our commitment, we don't realize that we're going to have to work to keep that aliveness going through the years, that there's going to be challenges we're going to have to meet, and they might not be the challenges that we would have chosen if we got to make our own list. But whoever we choose, that's who we got, and who you choose is how you grow if you really meet those challenges.
Yeah, and it's so important in the choice. You know, I think TV, we think that a guy looks at a girl looks at a guy, there's little twinkles in their eyes, and it all just kind of falls into place. Not really true in a really good relationship that we live every day. So how do we have a truly collaborative, intimate relationship, Mona?
Well, the trick is being able to love your spouse when you don't like them. And
yes, that's so true.
Yep, it's going to happen, and anybody who's been married for more than 6 months knows that. And I like to tell people that when you don't get the supportive response you want, you don't get a great response to feedback, you don't get the attention you want, you can think of that as 100% your responsibility, how you're going to react to that. In other words, are you going to give better back than you're getting? Are you going to be able to be more calm, compassionate, curious, present, loving than your partner is being to you in that moment? And if you can, then I think you're doing your part to make it a great relationship.
Well, and you know, that's really so profound. Now, there's a couple of things that go on in relationships, though, that I'd like to talk about. You know, we all come from different backgrounds, and I am a sexual abuse survivor thriver, so there are some patterns for me that I've had to work through, and there are many people out there, whether it be emotional berating by a parent or a spouse or someone else, whether they've been through physical or sexual abuse, whenever they feel threatened, which can be when you're in that heated moment in a relationship, they tend to shut down and they want to withdraw and move away because that's a safety mechanism. So as we're working in a collaborative relationship, how do you help couples work to stay there even though it may be uncomfortable, or teach them techniques to maybe walk away and come back when they do feel safe to talk it through without the heat of the moment?
Right. So in the moment, one person could be innocently talking, thinking they aren't being hurtful, and the other one somehow gets hurt and needs to shut down. So that shutting down is a good thing to do, because at the moment something's gotten triggered that feels too much, and that automatic shutdown feeling comes to save you in the moment. I call that a protector.
Right.
That just takes you away, thinks you're going to be safer distancing, even though eventually, of course, you're just going to be lonely if you stay that way. But in the moment, it feels necessary to do that. And what I advocate to that person is to have a tender feeling toward that part of you that whisked you away, because it did it to help you in the moment.
And that's true. And you have to say, okay, you know, my protective mode is in. Now I need to honor that and remove myself or find a way to diffuse the anger that you feel from the other person.
Right. Even if you can possibly have a little bit of space and know that you've gone into your protective distancing mode, you and all the other people in the same boat could actually say to your partner, I'm just about taken over with this defensive distancing thing, and I feel like I need to protect myself by distancing from you. I'm really sorry, but I just can't control it right now. And maybe someday I'll be able to control it right in the moment, but right now I need a little time to myself.
Absolutely. So how do you teach couples to resolve their conflicts this way? What kind of language, what kind of actions do you help them take, Dr. Mona, to make these changes so that they can come together in a totally new and more compassionate and loving way?
I love the way you say it, because it does feel totally new when you can do it. I'll tell you some of the things I say, and then if you like, I have a story from somebody who did it with her own words of how she put it into effect. But I'll have people coming in. Of course, the thing they're going to want to say is what their partner did. He did this, she did that, she doesn't respect me, he doesn't listen to me, and I feel terrible. And then at some point I'll say, would you like it if you didn't have to feel so bad when he did that? Would you like it if he could do that and you could stay more calm, confident, and able to express yourself without having to get so angry or distant or hopeless? And invariably people say yes. They do want to be able to stay present no matter what their partner is doing. And then I help them do that. And the first step is to get to know the anger, the hopelessness, whatever has intervened in that moment, because those are our protectors. They're trying to help us. And the best thing we can do is tenderize ourselves toward them and recognize the good that they're doing for us in the moment. This story tells that vividly, if you want to hear it.
Yes, please share.
Okay. So this is a woman that I met at a conference who'd read my book and done the exercises. And she told me this story and said I could use it. She says, we were driving out to go hiking, and he kept taking his eyes off the road in a way that felt scary to me. I got really angry that he wasn't driving right, and he thought I was overreacting. And, of course, he wouldn't stop doing it no matter how many times she asked. I told him I was having a really angry reaction, and I was going to work with my own parts. My parts were convinced it was his fault, and at first they didn't want to change. I stayed with them and validated their experience and asked them to let me know more about why they were so mad. They showed me scenes of when it was the adult's job to take care of me, and they didn't. I almost drowned because adults weren't watching. I was supposed to be protected, and my brother abused me. I thanked them so much for helping and said I'd be back to them another time, and they totally trusted me. Before I was even out of my inner journey, my husband said for the first time ever, you get really upset, and I wonder if you could help me understand what's happening for you. So I got to tell him that I was triggered because he wasn't taking good enough care of her. He stayed curious and asked what he could do. I said, I get scared when you take your eyes off the road, and he stopped doing it. We had a beautiful ride. He never would have done that in the past because I would have continued to be pissed.
Oh, man, that is so powerful. You can't go silent on radio, but I'm moved to silence because I think that's such a powerful acknowledgement of being able to acknowledge each other and their own deepest fear and needs.
Right, and she led. She was able to do her 100% because he wasn't changing. Mm-hmm. She was committed to her own peace and serenity and to the relationship. So she went inside and was tender toward her own angry reactions. She didn't try to get rid of them or judge them or change them. She just opened to what was in the moment, and then she got doors opening, the stories of the abuse and the neglect. She thanked her angry parts, and her husband just melted.
Right. That is amazing. Okay, on that thought, we're going to have to go to our commercial break. We're going to be right back with Dr. Mona Barbara. She is a psychologist and the author of Bring Yourself to Love. And we're going to come back and we're going to talk what to do in these challenging times. Many couples are having some challenges right now with the economic downturn, how that's affecting their traditions with Christmas, whether it be going home, just presents, even making and paying the bills right now. So we're going to talk about that. Dr. Mona is going to help us look at how we can think differently and act differently and bring some peace into these kinds of situations. Stay tuned to the Ella Speaks Show. We'll be back with Dr. Mona Barbara. Are you looking for a spiritual community that teaches the Christian principles of love and abundance? Visit Unity Church today at 5603 41st Street in Oklahoma City or call 789-2424. Call Unity today at 789-2424.
Have you asked yourself, what do I want out of life? Do you know where you're going and how you're going to get there? Think about starting your own business? Let Ella Speaks help you master your destiny and claim your greatness. Ella helped me define what my dreams were and establish a plan of action to achieve them. Call Ella now and let her help you achieve your dreams too. I did, and it's the best investment I've made in my life. Call Ella Speaks today at 596-0251. That's 596-0251. Your destiny awaits you. Call Ella today.
Mona Lisa, men have named you.
And I have to say, Jay, I'd almost stay listening to the song. You know, when we left, Dr. Mona had some incredible insight from a woman who was able to make changes between her and her husband. Many of you are writing emails about the challenges going on right now for you financially. And so I was really thrilled when Elaine Krakow emailed me and called me and said she had Dr. Mona Barbara, and she was available to be a guest here on the show. And it's just such an honor to have you here with all the work you've done. So let's talk about the challenges facing our country right now in a totally unprecedented way. So many people have been laid off right before Christmas. I actually have a family member who's going through that. She got laid off in November very unexpectedly. So let's talk about the kind of challenges that creates in relationships, from just the relationship aspect of it and from the financial aspect, Dr. Mona.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. I really would wish that couples could get through these hard times with love toward each other, because that will make it so much easier. But unfortunately, when there's stress in your life or in your work or in money, you're probably going to be more likely to be unhappy and not be very nice to your spouse. So it's a double whammy. So there's going to be more opportunities to feel disappointed or hurt by our spouses just when we really need them the most. There's also going to be more time together if you're laid off or you're working from home or you're working part-time. And that will bring out whatever issues are percolating, bring them out a little bit more. And we've also got to struggle with our characteristic responses to deprivation and hardship. Some of us will want to get addictive with shopping and or other things just to get some relief from that pressure. Other of us will shut down into complete austerity mode and then feel resentful and irritated about it. So I really wish that spouses could be ready for those frustrating moments from the one when they're not going to be getting what they want and be able to weather them and give better back than they're getting.
You know, I think that is really important. So let's talk about when you feel the stress, when you feel the financial stress going on, how can couples sit down and work that out? One of the things is to plan ahead, which doesn't go on in the United States as much as it used to. So sitting down and talking ahead of time, you know, if there's a financial crisis, here's the steps we're going to need to take as a family, so that the crisis doesn't hit and then all the emotion is involved at the same time. So the pre-planning, and then when it hits, how do you deal with that?
Right. So healthy families will be able to sit down and pre-plan and decide what they need to sacrifice on and how they need to change. You know, and they'll need to give feedback to each other, which is a whole other thing. I hope we'll have a few minutes to talk about that, because they'll see in each other things that could be changed before the other one will see it. And that'll be a part of the creativity of the responses, to be able to work together and tell each other what you see and be able to receive feedback and ideas. But what if you don't have a healthy relationship and you can't even begin to think of sitting down and getting past one sentence about how to do this together? And that's a time when I would like people to take 100% responsibility for their own reactions to the other person and not think about how the other one could change a little bit or a lot, but how you could bring more calm and connection to the situation even if you're not getting it.
Right. Okay, so what kind of language are they going to have going back and forth, Dr. Mona?
In terms of feedback, shall we just go to that? Because I think this creative process, yeah, people are going to be having to talk to each other frankly about the other one's shopping or the other one's gambling or driving or various habits, and they have to change. And we're not used to doing that in this country. We're used to abundance. So I want people to be aware that before they give feedback, they must stop and get themselves into a calm and connected, compassionate and curious frame of mind so that they don't come out convinced that they're right and they don't come out judgmental or critical, because that will not work. That will just put the other person on their defensive behavior. So before you even start giving feedback, make sure you're not giving it just off the cuff at a bad moment, that you've really sat with it and you're ready to do it with a loving, connected feeling to your spouse. You're going to say your truth about what you see the other one doing, but you're going to be calm and connected and loving. But don't even start yet, because no matter how well you say it, it's likely that you'll get some defensive responses, because at first people just don't like to be told things that they don't want to hear. People generally want to think they're fine just the way they are, and any kind of input generally engenders one, two, or three waves of defensiveness, or even attack. So I want people not only to be able to start calm and connected, but to be able to stay that way when they get defensive, angry, hopeless, unproductive responses. And if they can do that, I guarantee something good will come out of that.
Absolutely. Okay, now there's some things we need to talk about with language here, though, because when you open up to talk to each other about what you feel is going on with the other person, how that's affecting you, we don't say, you make me. We say, I feel scared. I feel sad. So it's not a form of attack, correct?
You're right, and people can really, really get into that. Like, I had to give a friend some very difficult feedback the other day because I felt that she was gossiping and criticizing others, and I just didn't like it. But how was I going to say that to her?
Oh, yeah.
And I wanted to keep this friendship. So I said to her, when you say these critical things, my body cringes and steps back, almost like I step back a few inches. So I was not even just telling her my words, but my physical reaction. And there was no judgment in that. It was just my response.
Mm-hmm. And what?
So you're right. As much as you can talk about your own experience without judging, moralizing is a big one. No moralizing. That will not work.
Right.
And moralizing can be very critical because we can think that we have the right answer, the right perspective, we're convinced, but our spouses will not like that one bit.
No, they will not. And it almost gets to where spouses become like our kids, going back and forth. Well, you did it, and no,
yeah.
What you did made me do, and blah, blah, blah. So it just goes into a free-for-all. So as we're talking to someone, and I love that because gossip is one of those things, at times I work really hard to not gossip at all, and then I'll fall back into that pit, which is what I call it.
Yeah.
And gossip is very harmful, and yet TV shows are real big gossip girl. I mean, you know, it's almost making gossip the way to live your life. So if you have a family member who gets offended, if your spouse or your children get offended when you sit down to talk to them like this, what can you do to defuse that so you get back into a really open, viable communication?
The first thing you can do is notice if you're starting to argue, if you're starting to feel like a forcing attitude, like you have to make your spouse get it right now, if you're starting to punish, distance, or that moralizing, or even be contemptuous or critical. Just notice your own responses, and that's what you have control over, is to notice what you're doing, and if you can, stop doing it, and come back to a feeling of curiosity about where your spouse is, and maybe even ask a question. Why do you think that? Without it being a confrontive question, but a truly curious question.
That's a really good question. Why do you think that? We need to all have that in our repertoire. Okay. So now in the holiday season, we've talked about the language. We've talked about sitting down, being able to work that out. Walking away if you have to and coming back. So first thing would be feedback. What would be the second thing?
Well, to listen. They're probably going to get an earful back when they start speaking, and they're probably not going to get it first with what they're hearing. But if they could keep that curious attitude and even offer more curiosity than they're getting, they'll get to hear what the other person is perceiving about them, and maybe they'll learn something about themselves. And then if they soften and let it in, again, they can evaluate what happens to the other person when they do that. Does the other person soften too? Does the other person start allowing themselves to receive influence? And then they get an idea whether this is going to be able to be a back and forth or not.
Absolutely. And what would be the third thing they could do, Dr. Mona?
Well, realize that any person that you get into a relationship with is going to bring you challenges. And ask yourself, are you interested in the challenges that this person is bringing you? Does it speak to your soul? Does it speak to your life to grow in the particular way that you're going to need to grow with this person? Let's use an extreme example. Say you've got somebody who's in trouble with the law a lot, and one of your challenges is going...
Are you still there? Yes. Are you still there? Okay.
Yeah, I am. Should I keep going?
Yes, please.
Yeah. One of her challenges is going to be to bail the person out and to deal with the fallout from their behavior. do you really want that challenge in your life? Does that serve you? And if you can answer yes, then that's the person for you. And if you say no, that's not really a challenge I want, then that person is not for you.
Absolutely. Dr. Mona Barbara, she is a PhD psychologist and the author of Bring Yourself to Love. You know, I really want to thank you for sharing your wisdom, because so many families need this right now today. And so what a timely topic to talk about, how to grow a relationship and how to reduce that stress. Thank you for taking some of your valuable time and sharing it with all of us today, Dr. Barbara.
Thank you, Ellen. Thank you for your wonderful radio show.
All right. Thank you. And it is time for us to go to our station ID, which Jay has been heading us towards. So we're going to take our station ID, our commercial breaks. We'll be right back with the Ella Speaks Show. We're going to open the mailbag because I have been getting lots of email from the website, and I want to address some of your questions. So stay tuned to the Ella Speaks Show. We'll be right back.